Craig has joined.
Craig joins. Craig learned his lesson, and actually, Craig's done pretty well the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he hasn't been messing up.
No, I don't think so. So let's not jinx it, right?
Yeah, right.
It's TH Fantasy. We are at episode 43. I'm Tony. This is Ryan. How you doing, Ryan?
Hello. I am Ryan. And in fact, this will be the wrap up of all of our teams, like profiles, I guess you can call it.
I don't think I've ever felt more prepared going into a fantasy season than I do this, like right now.
Oh yeah, of course. And of course, because we like did a lot of research, you know, it hopefully pans out, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, the cool thing is like, when we look back on this next year, we can see where were our blind spots. What did we not study well? Like, what should we focus on next time?
Yeah, it was definitely a learning experience, and it's only going to help us next year for when we want to plan out. But I think we did a good job of planning out the weeks and figuring out what we could do in a certain amount of weeks. Because really, look, this is the last podcast. Like this Thursday is the first preseason game. We've only had one game. So that was actually worked out pretty well.
Right. Yeah. We timed it really well. And we also watched Tim Patrick's season end before it got started.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
and potentially one, a Cincinnati player we're about to talk about today.
Okay. All right. I'm ready to
No one of great importance, but, an interesting tight end that I kind of liked last year.
Okay.
As a backup to Uzama.
Okay.
Who's no longer there. But
so before we get started, so you're going to be doing the Bengals and the Steelers, correct?
That is correct.
And then I'll be doing the Bears and the Lions. So I think, are you starting? Is it your team to go first today, or is it my team to go first today?
I can go first. So,
I'll go first at 43.
Sure. Go ahead. Before
we get started too much, I was thinking, and Ryan and I briefly touched on this, we want to start doing maybe some occasional, like short, very short episodes where we do a story, like a player like this, someone that we find interesting, because I don't know about you, but I'm having a ton of fun doing this.
Yeah. Maybe we do like a mini episode on like a Thursday won't work because of Farceball, but maybe Wednesday we do a short 10-15 minute episode. We can recap some of the stuff that happened on Sunday or Monday games and just do one guy that we thought stood out that we did some research on or something.
Yeah, we'll be trying to diversify our content in a lot of ways, and then some of it I think is also going to reflect these bits that we've been doing where we talk about a guy. So we're on episode 43. Our number was 43. My 43 is a strong safety named Gerald Sensabaugh. All right.
Ooh, this name sounds familiar.
Yeah, Gerald Sensabaugh played from 05 to 2012. He played for Jacksonville for 3 years, and then he played for Dallas to end his career for the last 4 years. He didn't really give me too much. Like, his stats weren't super interesting. His professional career was kind of whatever. But then I'm researching each of these guys, and then I'm like, wait, this dude has 3 arrests. He got arrested 3 times, Gerald Sensabaugh. Most of them were for, so he got arrested 3 times in 3 years, suspended licenses. When he got arrested his third time, in his car, they found a Berea 380, an AK-47, and a 22.
Jesus. Like,
this dude's got fucking guns, right? All of those arrests were in Jacksonville, and then he went to Dallas, because, of course, Dallas is going to sign a guy with a bunch of unlicensed guns in his car.
Why not?
So he retires in 2012, and then he becomes a coach, because so many of these former guys become football coaches at high schools, right? And he ends up getting fired because of a dispute that he had with the principal. So his response is to run for mayor of the small town that he lived in, right? So I have 2 master's degrees. One of them's in history. So I've done my thesis. I've done my research. I could not find his political platform at all. The only thing that I know is that he got fired. He thought it was bullshit and decided to run for mayor.
Wow.
he lost, but the sheriff of the county that he was in Johnson County, in Johnson County, like in Washington, the sheriff leaked texts of the sheriff talking to someone else about, like, almost using, like, coded racist language, and the sheriff had to resign because of the shit that he was saying about Gerald Sensabaugh while he was running for office. Yep. He ran again for school board in 2011 and lost again. So, Gerald Sensabaugh, safety, 3 arrests, a lot of guns, fired as a coach, ran for mayor, lost, got a sheriff fired, ran for school board, and lost. So, that's Gerald Sensabaugh.
Well, I'm going with someone that's on the opposite of that spectrum, someone who's done a lot of good for a community. He's actually started and been like CEO of like 15 different companies after his like NFL career, and still does like business stuff to this day.
Okay.
We're going with Mr. Cleveland Gary. His nickname was the Cleveland Steamer. He had a shorter than most, I guess if you look at the average, it's not that short. He played from like 89 to like 94 or 95.
Okay.
He had like 2 really good years. But let's start with a little history. He went to South Fork High School and he played baseball and football. In high school, he hit a 450-yard homer and is considered the longest home run in that school's history. His senior year, he also rushed for 2,100 yards and 30 touchdowns.
Wait, you meant, before we get too far, you meant 450 feet, right? Because 450 yards is like...
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was thinking football. I wrote down yards. Yeah, 450 feet, sorry. We're not talking 1,200 feet. He was considered at the time one of the nation's, coming out of high school, one of the nation's most sought after athletes. He went on to, he began his college career at Georgia, and in his first game against Clemson had 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. He then transferred to the University of Miami, where he still holds the record for the most catches by a running back ever in a single season with 57.
Wow.
And I think that's for Miami. I don't think that's all college, but no, I think it's just for Miami. And it still stands to this day for that school.
Cool.
He was also playing baseball at University of Miami. And while he was playing there, he was offered a 6-figure contract to go play for the Atlanta Braves. He never got up to the majors. He only ended up playing in the minors in 1990, but he was drafted to the NFL in 1989, which means he was playing baseball while he was playing football, which is, you know, something Deion Sanders did. He never had any records. Like, Deion Sanders is the only person to like have a touchdown and hit a home run in the same week. I thought that was cool.
Bo Jackson flirted with that for a while too.
Yeah. Bo Jackson. Yep. So he, in 1989, he was selected by the LA Rams, and that's the ultimately, I think he played in Miami for like one season, but he played, his best years were with the Rams. In 1992, he rushed for 1,125 yards, had 52 receptions.
Wow.
Yeah. That was one of his good years. And also, he led the NFL in touchdowns in 1990 with 15 rushing touchdowns.
So you could just say he's taken a huge dump on his competition.
Yeah. He had a pretty stellar career. And I don't know, I couldn't find out anywhere like why his career was so short. Maybe he just wanted to retire early or something. But then he went on and he actually has his own radio and TV talk show right now. It says it's on Comcast Cable TV channel 17. I don't know what that is. Must be a local channel.
Sure.
He's written 2 books, The Truth Behind the Ball and A Touchdown on Wall Street. And actually, He wants to take Touchdown on Wall Street and make it into a major box office movie in 2022. So this year.
Damn, the Cleveland Steamer.
He's owned over 15 different businesses, a bunch of like mobile phone companies, looks like.
Sure.
Something with Dish Network. And right now he's currently the chairman of the board of Gary Holdings, an investment company that owns and operates AMG Capital.
So this dude's way more successful after football than in football.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
But he also holds records at college and had a year or two where he was really good in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like I said, I couldn't really find out why he left the NFL and only played like 5 years, but maybe he just thought he made enough money and wanted to get into business for himself, which he clearly did. So
yeah, some people don't want football to be the thing that defines who they are, I guess.
Right. That's very cool. Very, very interesting research on that guy.
That's a cool story.
Yeah. I had never heard of him.
Yeah. So you're going to go first today. Are you doing Cleveland or Pittsburgh first?
No, we'll do Pittsburgh first and then I'll do Cincinnati.
Okay. So I wanted to say real quick before we get started that Mitch has looked terrible in practice. Like,
yeah, I was going to point that out. Everyone's saying, yeah.
I don't want to spoil too much ahead, but what I wanted to ask you is, I said something in the Football Absurdity Discord the other day. I want you to tell me if you agree or disagree with me. Thinking about how bad this offense has the potential to be, I think I'm out on almost every Pittsburgh player at their ADP right now.
Yeah, I know. I enjoyed Freiermuth last year, and we'll talk about him. He had like a really good rookie season, but I think a lot of these guys, if they're going to be on your teams, you're going to have to start them in the flex. You can't, if this quarterback controversy becomes anything, like the only person we can count on this team is going to be Najee Harris, because that's going to be their whole team this year.
Sure.
We can't count on that passing game.
Okay. Well, tell me about it. Let's get into it. Let's do the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So yeah, Trubisky, was on the Bills last year as a backup to Allen. I don't even remember. He must have just come in when they were like blowing out someone, or he ended the year with 43 yards and an interception. And as I wrote down, rumored to not be playing well in training camp so far. But he did show some flourishes when he was with the Bears. His best year with the Bears was in 2018, when he threw for 3,223 yards, 24 touchdowns. He shows some promise, but I don't know what's going on with this guy. Maybe he was overhyped because he had sick college numbers because he was in a crap conference.
He only had 1 year of... He only had 1 year of starting quarterback play in college.
Like, I never understood the Bears thinking when they traded up for that number two pick in the 2017 or 2018 draft. That is like the worst thing. I think that'll go down as the worst pick in Bears history until we see what happens in the future for me.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue Kevin White at pick 7 overall, but the fact that the Bears, right, forged asset, like gave up assets to move up, is it's terrible, right. And you know what, like, by all means, by what everyone says, Mitch Trubisky is a nice guy, he's a hard worker, and he was not set up for success in Chicago. Like,
no, all they gave him was Allen Robinson,
and like, and I think the thing that needs to be acknowledged is Matt Nagy is really not just a bad coach, but like a negative on his offensive players because of the way he schemes an offense. So to me, this is when we find out if Mitch is actually a quarterback, because we all know, like, the Steelers, like, they have an offense that can fit a quarterback whose skills are limited.
Yeah, they've got all the players. They've got all the right players. They just don't have anyone to run the team.
Right. So I think that there's a chance that Mitch comes out and plays like an average quarterback. And really, because that's all I think he is. He's an average quarterback.
Yeah, but if he continues to do this bad, you don't think they're just going to turn to Pickett? And honestly, I don't even see why they wouldn't maybe even turn to Rudolph.
Because I've heard whispers that Rudolph is turning this into like a three-man competition for
quarterback. It could be. I mean, Rudolph's best year was in 2019. I think Roethlisberger got injured halfway during the season. He ended up with almost 2,000 yards, 13 touchdowns.
And one caved-in head from Myles Garrett.
Yeah. But let's see. He only had a 36.2 quarterback rating, though, that year.
Right. He's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like, and that should tell you how it is. The problem is, though, Ryan, that I want us to acknowledge is Mason Rudolph is the only quarterback in that room that isn't looking at a brand new system.
Right. That's where I think his advantage is. It's still Mike Tomlin.
Right.
They don't have any changes in, I think, offense or defensive coordinators. There's no new system. They're still running the Roethlisberger system.
Right.
So we'll see. I'm not going to talk too much about small hands Kenny Pickett because this quarterback situation is a shit show right now. And really, we're just going to have to wait and see.
Didn't we say one of our prop bets this year is how many games does Mitch play? And I think we set the line at like 6.5 or something like that.
Yeah. We're going to see which of these guys rises to the top and gets a question for week one.
Do we see all three of these quarterbacks at some point this season?
That's a good guess. I mean, yes, with injuries, I think we could.
Okay.
I think we definitely could. Say Pickett or Trubisky comes in, starts the year, plays like two or three games, is crap. They just say, fuck it, and go to Pickett. Then Pickett gets injured, and then they just Rudolph for the rest of the year or something. I don't know. But remember, they also have Chris Oladukun.
Of course.
Will we see all four this year?
That if Chris Oladukun is a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2022, it'll be because three Pittsburgh quarterbacks either have COVID or monkeypox.
All right, let's move on. Let's look at the run game, which is going to be what they're going to rely on heavily this year in their scheme.
Okay.
And Pittsburgh's always been a decent running team, but now they got Najee Harris. And after his crazy season last year, I don't see why there's any reason for Mike Tomlin to just treat him like Derrick Henry. You know your quarterbacks ain't going to run the game. You should just run the shit out of the ball and run it down your opponent's throats. So he had 307 rushing attempts for 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns. But he only had a 3.9 yard average.
Woof.
Yeah. That's the one thing that he needs to improve on this year. He needs to get closer to like 5 to be good. Interesting fact. I know Tony loves wrestling. Him and Pat Freiermuth did some wrestling shit this season. I don't know too much about it, but I read like a little blurb somewhere. Do you know about it?
Yeah. So AEW, the wrestling that I like, that's on TBS, they like one of the main women wrestlers is from Pittsburgh. Like her outfits are like black and gold.
Okay. Like,
very Pittsburgh centric. So when she came out to cut a promo in Pittsburgh, Najee and Pat Freiermuth came out with her and she like did the whole promo and they're just like standing in the ring trying to look cool. And then she like gave the mic to Najee Harris and he was like, oh, hey. They gave me a mic, and then they, like, cut the mic off. He was like, they gave me a mic, hey! And they, like, cut
the really? Mic
off. It was fucking hilarious, man. I was dying.
So they didn't, like, wrestle?
No, they were just out there.
Yeah, okay.
I will say, Najee Harris, I'm looking at 4 for 4, and they've got a little blurb on him. Did you know that he led the league in touches last year?
Yeah, he had a lot. Yeah.
22.9 touches per game.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that that astronomical number somehow goes up this year?
I think it could go to like average 24, maybe 25.
Okay.
They're gonna have to. I mean, unless one of these guys randomly, I don't know, makes a wish with a genie and becomes the best quarterback in the NFL, they're gonna have to. Because look at what's gonna happen if Najee gets injured. Man, they've got Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland and Jaylen Warren. Not good.
No.
They predominantly run off of him. Snell only had 36 attempts last year for 98 yards, no touchdowns, 2.7 average.
Yikes.
McFarland only had 3 attempts for 3 yards. Not that good. And I didn't even look up stats on Jaylen Warren because who cares?
Right.
So this offense is going to run through Harris.
So my question is then, are you drafting him at his ADP? Are you drafting him as at top 10?
Harris?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm not. I'm fading Najee.
Why? He's going to get so many attempts. Even if he only brings his average up to like 4.2, he's going to get like so many chances on the goal lines, everywhere.
Najee Harris fucking rules, right? But I think that if I'm looking and peering into the crystal ball next year, there's a chance. Tell me you agree with me. There's a chance that Pittsburgh's offense leads the league in 3 and outs next year.
That's a good point.
Like, that's 2 touches and that's it. Like, I don't want great players on bad offenses if I have to pay up for them. I want great players on great offenses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of like an Allen Robinson scenario, where like,
yeah,
nice, yeah.
And I think that Najee is going, like, there's a good chance that Najee is a top 10 back or a top 10 player for sure. He's fucking awesome.
Right.
I love Najee Harris, but I honestly, like, I'm looking at the guys around him. Would you take Najee or Derrick Henry?
Oh, I'd definitely take Henry before Najee.
Would you take Najee or Aaron Jones?
Definitely take Aaron Jones after all those stats he spit at me last week.
Make sure you're monitoring Packers snap counts, because it's been like 50-50 in the backfield right now.
Yeah, that's true. But he still had all those numbers even with Dylan last year.
But if Dylan's on the field more, that's worse for Jones because his rushing floor isn't guaranteed. But I will say,
yeah, that's true.
I still think if it says to me Aaron Jones is gonna get at least 60% of the work, he's a top 5 back for me.
Okay.
So I would still take him over Najee just because I think I like the PPR aspect of it more. Would you take Najee or DeAndre Swift?
Who? I'd probably go Najee just because of the amount of touches.
Okay, cool. Hell yeah.
But Swift's up there. I do like, I'm going to try and target Swift in some leagues this year.
Okay.
I've never had shares of him. I'm kind of ashamed to say that, you know, I'm going to try and get someone from the Detroit Lions. But you know what? From all the stuff we've looked at this year, I think the Lions are going to be pretty decent.
We'll get there. We'll get there in a minute.
So yeah, let's move on to the wide receivers. So we've got Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, George Pickens, rookie, Calvin Austin. They got Miles Boykin. They even have ex-Bear Anthony Miller, Gunnar Olszewski, and then a handful of other scrubs. Chase Claypool is actually still sidelined right now. He had like a shoulder problem or something, and okay. I don't think it's anything serious. So his rookie season was 2 years ago, and he made a big splash. But last year he had 59 receptions for 860 yards, and two TDs, a 14.6 yard average.
Yeah.
Pretty good. But where he needs to improve, and I don't think that's going to happen this year with the quarterback, is his touchdown production. Because when he was a rookie, he had 9 touchdowns.
4 in one game.
Yeah. They've obviously lost Smith-Schuster. So, but they still have Deontay Johnson, who had an excellent campaign last year with 107 receptions for 1,161 yards, 8 touchdowns, and a 10.9 yard average.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Last year, he was second among wide receivers in routes and targets.
Yep. He's a monster. He's a target beast. He's the Najee Harris of wide receivers.
Right. He's a separation artist.
Right. But I guess the question that fantasy managers are trying to figure out is how much of his target stuff is because he's great at getting open, and how much is it because Ben threw to him specifically?
I think the latter part is a good generalization, but he is really good at, you know, running routes and getting separation.
I want to look up at some point Mason Rudolph stats the year that he played. I want to see where he delivers the ball. Because I think Mitch could be okay for Deontay. I really do. You know, Mitch.
The year I was talking about in 2019?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think either of those guys would have been there.
No. But I want to see, like, does he throw to the slot? Does he throw to the tight end? Does he throw to the boundary receivers?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I wonder where you could find that.
There's that PFF quarterback thing. I'll send to you. We can look at it. But I don't think they have one for Mitch. I don't know. It's tough to figure out, but
right.
You kind of have to piece it together through a bunch of different sources. But okay. So I'm looking at Deontay as ranked seven wide receiver 17. Is that too high? Too low? Jalen Waddle is 16. Brandon Cooks is 18. Sutton is 19.
Like we were talking earlier, I'm probably not going to target too many of these guys just because there's going to be weeks where they get theirs, but then there's going to be weeks where they may not even get a catch. You know, I don't think it's going to be consistent enough for me to, unless I'm like in a weird spot where somehow he has fallen like crazy and I'm just like super value right there. That's the only reason I'm going to pick him up.
So would you take Deontay Johnson or Jalen Waddle?
Jalen Waddle.
Deontay Johnson or Brandon Cooks?
I mean, Houston has potential to be even worse than Pittsburgh, so
right.
I'll go with Deontay Johnson.
Okay, cool.
They also drafted George Pickens this year, round 2, pick 52. He's 6'3", 200 pounds, kind of similar to Deontay. And Claypool. And like every rookie report is saying about minicamp, he's looking so impressive right now.
Right,
so who knows? Who knows what's going on? He only played 4 games in 2021 in college because of a torn ACL.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can stay healthy, and he's been doing all of his training to keep that ACL from not tearing again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny because the Steelers, like, they just churn wide receivers. So, you know, like, I honestly think next year Chase Claypool is probably gone and George Pickens becomes an awesome fantasy target.
Right.
But this year, they have him playing on the outside. Like, they're saying that he's running with the ones, so we'll see. But I'm not putting too much stock into anything that beat reporters are saying right now. Teams are trying new shit. Like, that's just what happens.
So moral of the story for this past game is I'm going to try and not have any part of it. Like I said, if these guys fall and there's some value in drafts, I'll pick them up. But right now, I'm not too confident in any of those 4 quarterbacks to make these guys have numbers like they did last year with Roethlisberger. So, with that said, we'll talk about some tight ends and then move on because I don't really want to spend too much more time on the Steelers. Mr. Pat Freiermuth. 60 receptions for 497 yards, 7 touchdowns, an 8.3 average. That's pretty decent for a tight end.
Yeah.
Who tight ends normally get a lot of those shorter passes. He finished I think it's either half point or full point PPR fantasy leagues with 151.7 points, which made him the 10th most. Yeah, the 10th most by any rookie tight end ever.
Hell yeah.
That's and impressive. Astonishingly, he caught 76% of his targets.
That's pretty nice.
Really good. He could potentially be a red zone machine. And of all the players to target in the pass game, this might be the best one just because he's going to get involved in a lot of those short pass plays because let's be honest, Trubisky's not going to stretch the field. Rudolph's not going to stretch the field. There's not going to be a lot of crazy 40, 50 yard plays. So it's going to be a lot of dink and dunk, and Freiermuth may be able to take advantage of a lot of that. And I hope he does. But like I said, I probably am not going to take him unless his value falls somewhere.
Sure.
They've also got Zach Gentry, Connor Hayward, and Kevin Rader. The only rookie is Connor Hayward, a Michigan State product they picked up in round 6.
Okay.
No, nothing big about him. He's a Michigan State product, so he's mainly there for blocking. And I think that's what they're trying to develop in. Other than that, Zach Gentry had 19 receptions for 167 yards, which kind of amazed me when I looked that up because I don't remember seeing him catch a pass in red zone or anything.
Right.
So, but yeah, moral of the tight ends, Freiermuth could be the best offensive weapon that these quarterbacks have to throw to this year. So that's all I got to say about the Steelers.
All right. That's fair. I really liked George Pickens coming out of college. My pre-draft rankings, I had George Pickens as my wide receiver 6.
Okay.
Pat Freiermuth is being drafted as tight end, like tight end 10 right now. So he's right. Would you rather have Pat Freiermuth or Cole Kmet?
Probably Freiermuth.
Pat Freiermuth or Dallas Goedert?
God, these are all shitty quarterback situations.
Right.
Probably Goedert.
Okay. All right. So let's move on. We're going to go to Detroit. We're going to talk about the Lions. We'll start with Jared Goff. Jared Goff, quarterback 24 last year, which is incredible if you've ever watched Jared Goff play. And his supporting cast was garbage, so it's like, how much of that is his fault?
Right.
He had moments, but like they were few and far between. He had the lowest rate of passes beyond 10 yards in the NFL. He averaged 6.3 air yards per pass. So remember we were making fun of Tua because his air yards per pass, he was 39th out of 44. Jared Goff was 42.
Oh, my God.
He was asked to be a conservative game manager, and that's just not useful in fantasy. The offense got much better at converting third downs after Dan Campbell took over the play calling from noted dipshit Anthony Lynn after week 8 last year. Also, should worry you a little bit, Anthony Lynn, terrible play caller in San Diego, terrible play caller in Detroit, is now in San Francisco. So something to monitor.
Okay.
Nobody's going to draft Jared Goff with the intention of starting him because it's not reliable. Like, he's a placeholder, but like he'll have some games where he gives you a return. But if you're starting Jared Goff more than one week in a row, you need a better quarterback.
Yeah, you need to go on like betterhelp.com.
Right, yeah, you got to get some mental health. You're starting Jared Goff, bro. Just when they say, like, why do you need therapy? Be like, I started Jared Goff 3 weeks straight, and they're going to be like, yeah, we'll have somebody on the phone in 20 minutes.
You need to be here 3 times a week.
Jared Goff, quarterback 26 on 4-for-4, quarterback 27 on PFF, Superflex Dynasty quarterback 30 on Keep Trade Cut. Ryan, Jared Goff or Mac Jones?
Oh my God. I'll go Goff just because I think he's got more weapons to throw to.
Jared Goff or Daniel Jones?
Oh God. I'm not going with, no, I'm going with Goff. I don't want crazy eyes, Daniel Jones.
Okay. All right. So I was getting ready. I was sitting down. I'm going to do some research on DeAndre Swift. And I just watched his highlights for a few minutes. I was just like, God fucking damn it, man. He's ridiculous in space. He's ridiculous after the catch. He was third in catches per game last year, despite, you know, he missed five games. He got injured on Thanksgiving, missed five games. But per game.
Third in catches?
Third in catches for running backs, yeah. Listen to this. Per PFF, 32% of his catches came from when his team was down by seven or more in the fourth quarter.
Well, I mean, that's most games for the Lions.
Right. So Swift's ceiling is peak Alvin Kamara, right? Like his absolute ceiling.
Yeah.
He'll end up with around like 10 carries a game, but you're hoping that he'll get those five catches at about 8 yards a catch, right?
Right.
If the offense improves as a whole, he's just in the red zone more and he'll improve. He scored 7 touchdowns last year, but I think like the better their offense is, the more scoring opportunities he'll have.
Sure.
My problem is his rushing volume is cut into by Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams had 4 more touches in the red zone than Swift did last year.
Yeah, they were quite the tandem last year.
I think there's Jamal Williams' potential as like a running back handcuff that you can start every week.
So is Jamal Williams going to be getting like the first down like looks?
We'll get there. I think Swift and Williams will continue at like a 65-35. But I'm betting that Swift gets more rushes this year and becomes a bigger return on investment because their run blocking line is so good.
Okay.
Did
they beefed up their offensive line?
Yeah. I don't think he's a top 5 running back this year, but I think he's a top 10 for sure. PFF has him projected at like 70 targets this year, which I think would make it worth the cost. Absolutely.
Sure.
Swift is running back 4, or is running back 7 on 4-for-4, running back 10 on PFF, and Dynasty running back 2 on Keep Trade Cut.
Dynasty number 2?
Yes, sir. Wow. So, Ryan, DeAndre Swift or Leonard Fournette?
Swift.
Swift or Mixon?
Ooh, I'm liking Mixon. They just, with that pass game in Cincinnati, there's going to be too many more opportunities for Mixon. He's their guy.
All right. Jamal Williams was the best rusher in the Lions backfield, according to PFF. Even with only getting 35% of snap shares in games with him and Swift, he only managed one less carry total than Swift when they were both active and 2 more carries overall. He had 4 more red zone rushes. So let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. When both players were active, Jamal Williams had one less carry total than Swift. So, like, he's getting as much rushing use as Swift.
Right.
And he can also catch. So his usage every week and his looks inside the 20 make him an appealing handcuff option or emergency spot starter. He finished as a top 25 running back 4 times last year, but he was hurt. So if he was healthy, you won't have those games where Godwin, Ikwe, Biquwe, and Jamar Jefferson are getting, like, those are Jamal Williams games.
Yeah.
I would rather have him as a handcuff than someone like Madison, who doesn't have weekly usage, but I want him a little less than someone like Daryl Henderson, who will get rushing and receiving work every week.
Okay.
But I like Williams as a bench stash. Williams is running back 43 on 4-for-4, running back 45 on PFF, Dynasty running back 56 on Keep Trade Cut. Ryan, Jamal Williams or Ronald Jones?
Definitely Jamal Williams. I don't like Ronald Jones' outlook this year.
Okay. Jamal Williams or Raheem Mostert?
No, I'll go Williams again.
Okay. All right, moving on. Amon-Ra St. Brown is one of the most polarizing players in fantasy this year. The Lions brought in DJ Chark and drafted Jameson Williams, but both are deep threats while Amon-Ra is like in the intermediate range. So I'm going to quote Jeff Crisco, the founder of Football Absurdity. I'm going to quote him. Ready?
Sure.
Quote, "You know Jared Goff. Tell me, is the possession receiver or the deep threat receiver more likely to come through in 2022 fantasy football leagues?" End quote.
Interesting.
Like, come on. It's obvious that it's Amon-Ra is going to get slammed with targets because Jared Goff doesn't go deep, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Goff's depth of target lends itself perfectly to Amon-Ra's route tree. He was Goff's go-to target on third down, go-to target in the red zone, under pressure, and while being blitzed. It doesn't matter if we're talking about if Hockenson or Swift is out there because Brown had double-digit targets in every one of his last six games. And in those six games, he caught 51 passes for 560 yards and five touchdowns. He had one game in that six games, he had one game at wide receiver 26. Every other week, he was a top 10 wide receiver.
Nice.
You like Amon-Ra this year?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I really like Detroit's outlook this year. They got a good shot to maybe win the NFC North.
So Amon-Ra's range of outcomes is so wide that it's head spinning, but I'm betting that he will deliver quality weekly fantasy value as a wide receiver too this year. If this offense as a whole takes a step forward, Amon-Ra could blow up, but for now, his ceiling is tied to how often Jared Goff can move this offense.
Have you done a lot of mock drafts and stuff yet? Where is he like going?
Let's find out.
I've only done like mock like rookie drafts because of Dynasty. I haven't really started to do any mocked redraft leagues yet.
You should join the Football Absurdity Twitch streams on Saturday and Sundays. We do live mocks, salary cap, and snake.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
what, really cool. What time is it?
3 p.m. on Saturday.
3 p.m.?
Yeah. All right, so right now he is being drafted at 66th overall.
66, so that's like round 5?
Yeah, it's the end of, that's about the start of round 6.
Okay.
So he's wide receiver 28 on 4-for-4, wide receiver 25 on PFF, dynasty wide receiver 32 on keep trade cut. I like him at these prices. I'm going to end up with a good amount of exposure to him if these prices continue.
Yeah, so far I haven't been able to get any of him in best ball or anything, but
right, he's going high.
Yeah.
He's being drafted at a ceiling, but I think that he's being drafted correctly. So Ryan, Amon-Ra St. Brown or Darnell Mooney?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I'm going St. Brown.
Amon-Ra St. Brown or Hunter Renfrow?
Ooh. I don't think Davante Adams is going to cut into too many of Renfro's production, so I'm going to go Renfro.
Didn't we kind of think that it's Waller that takes the biggest hit with Adams there?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams was not my favorite wide receiver in this rookie class, but he has the chance to be the best. Like, you watch some of his tape, right? His speed is like Tyreek Hill speed.
Yeah.
Like, his open field running is ridiculous. He's just so fast that he creates angles with his speed that defenders can't keep up with. I heard most recently, like, that he might come back closer to, like, November after his tours ACL in the national championship.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't care. Doesn't matter. He's a monster. When he sees the field, you mark my fucking words. He's the type of dude that will make you hold your breath when he has the ball in his hands. I don't know what his role looks like right now, especially with his injury and Jared Goff's depth of target, but I'm saying it right now. If you have an IR spot or you play in a keeper league, get Jameson Williams now because he's not going to be this cheap ever again.
Wow, good point.
Jameson Williams is wide receiver 76 on 4-for-4, wide receiver 58 on PFF, and dynasty wide receiver 16 on keep trade cut. So you don't, like, he's a guy that, like, you can draft in, like, round 13. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and we have an IR spot. We have Ryan and I are in a keeper league, and we have an IR spot. So I could very well be like, look, keeping, I'm drafting him in this spot so I can save him as a cheap keeper, and I'm keeping him in my IR spot until he comes back.
Sure.
All right. I think DJ Chark, Josh Reynolds, and Quintez Cephas all have major flags going into this season. They're either returning from an injury or they're just kind of not very good. Chark has past production, and I think you could look at Chark as maybe an end-of-bench guy or a DFS play, but I don't. If I'm starting DJ Chark multiple weeks in a row, I'm asking for it. I deserve what I get. Chark has production, but if you think about, you know, Chark is a middle to deep receiver.
Yeah.
And that's not Goff's depth of target. And you got to think on a given play, the targets are going to go to Swift, Amon-Ra, Hockenson, and then Chark. So he's the fourth option on a given play, right. Maybe third.
Chark, I think, is going to be the player that 1 week maybe catches a touchdown and has like 60 yards, and then the next week maybe he doesn't even get a catch.
DJ Chark is going to rule at having three receptions for 52 yards.
Right, right.
Get
average like 6 or 7 points.
Right. All right, so TJ Hockenson is 4 for 4, is tight end 7, tight end 8 on PFF, dynasty tight end 5 on keep trade cut.
Another instance where I really like Hockenson this year, just because, like we were talking, the shittier quarterback, the shorter throws they make. So I think Hockenson's going to be really good with Detroit this year.
People are pretty cooled off on TJ Hockenson right now. The market's pretty cold on Hockenson lately.
Why is that?
So I think it's less about his performance, but the fact that, like, he was drafted 12th overall, and he hasn't been able to become one of the game's top four tight ends in his 3 years.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, he's been on Detroit, though. You got to give him a chance.
Right. In 2020, he caught 67 passes for 723 yards and 6 touchdowns. So I think that's kind of what his ceiling looks like.
Yeah.
But if you're drafting him at tight end 7, you're kind of drafting him at his ceiling, right?
Yeah, but I think now that this team is a little bit better, he could get close to 800 or 900 yards, I think. With this team, I don't think he'll ever be a 1,000-yard receiver, but
no. But I think that St. Brown and Swift end up with, I think St. Brown ends up with more targets than Hock, but I think Hock ends up third on the team in targets per game. Because I think Swift ends up getting more.
Yeah, that's a good assumption.
Especially if all three are, when all three are healthy, it's going to be interesting to see who gets what looks.
Yeah, right.
So Warren Sharp had this stat. TJ Hockenson has 12 career touchdowns. 2 of them have been longer than 11 yards.
That's it? Just 2?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's not a deep threat. And like when we're talking about, like, well, we're talking about like depth of target here and consistent targets. I don't want 70 catches for 550 yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think he's a top 5 tight end. If you punt on the top guys and you want to get a middle round guy, Hock is fine. I'd rather pay up or punt altogether. I just think he's in that dead zone.
Yeah. So he probably doesn't get a lot of yards after the catch, son.
I don't think so. So Ryan, TJ Hockenson or Zach Ertz?
Ooh, I like Ertz in Arizona this year.
TJ Hockenson or Dallas Goedert?
I'll go Hock.
All right. Ryan, this is your last team preview. The Cincinnati Bengals, yeah. The defending champs.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
All right. Show me the way.
All right. So Joe Burrow had a crazy, crazy season. His second season after coming back from, but he tore his ACL, right? His rookie year.
Yup.
Crazy season last year. Ended up with 4,611 passing yards, 34 touchdowns on 14 interceptions. Right now, currently, he had an appendectomy, but he is attending team meetings, so he'll be fine.
Did you see that video of him working out with the team?
He's not supposed to be. I thought you're not supposed to do that.
They were running suicides back and forth from sideline to sideline, and he was doing it with them in the like golf cart.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that.
It was fucking funny.
Those numbers look really good, but we have to remember that in three games, he scored 47% of his entire fantasy points.
Right. And it was later on in the season too.
Right. It was, that was like 15, 16, 17, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to expect a little bit of regression here, but right. Who knows? He could have that crazy game again. But there's gonna have to be some if you take a look at that's a lot of points to score in just three games.
Yep.
He also last year took a league high 51 sacks.
Wow.
Like their O-line was pathetic last year. I remember it was one of those last week's games where he got sacked like 8 times in the game.
Right.
But it looks like they beefed up their O-line a little bit this year. So it should have a little bit more, I don't know, protection.
Let's hope so. They invested a ton of money in the offensive line, so.
Yeah. They've also got Brandon Allen, Jake Browning, and Drew Pitt. So if Burrow goes down, this team's screwed. All the team is screwed, outside of Joe Mixon. But seems like Joe Burrow's developing a chemistry with this team that could last for several years. And it's really exciting to watch this team, honestly. I get really excited when the Bengals are on and to see those crazy plays. And with Ja'Marr Chase now, it's so fun to watch.
It is.
So, Joe Mixon.
Well, hang on. So let me ask you a question about Joe Burrow.
Right. Yeah.
So he had the 9th highest fantasy points per game average, but he ended up as fantasy quarterback 6 because of those breakthrough games, right?
Right.
So, but you're expecting a little regression. So let me ask you right now, I'm seeing Joe Burrow ranked as 8th. Joe Burrow or Tom Brady?
Wow. Well, if Tom Brady keeps throwing as many touchdowns as his age, then I'd go Tom Brady.
Okay. Would you take Joe Burrow or Russell Wilson?
Ooh. Probably Burrow.
Okay.
Russell Wilson's close. I'm excited to see what Russell can do in Denver.
Sure.
Moving on to the run game. Joe Mixon is going to get his this year as long as the pass game continues to be what it is. It's just setting Joe Mixon up for success with that run game. He finished with 292 attempts last year for 1,205 yards, 13 touchdowns, a 4.1 average, not too good. But he does a really good job as long as the passing game is, you know, working methodically how it is. 2021 actually was his career year. He did all categories of everything for him. He, like, set his personal best record.
Absolutely.
So I'm really high on him this year for fantasy. I'm going to be probably targeting him, especially because my draft strategy tends to look at wide receivers first. He may be there in the second. I don't think he's going to fall the third round, but
he might
be there in the second round. But we'll see. And he's actually finished in the top 15 in running backs last 4 seasons.
Wow.
Oh, he also had three touchdowns in the air, 314 yards on 42 receptions. So this guy's going to get his as long as the passing game stays. But if Joe Burrow goes out, everyone's just going to, you know, they're going to play a goal line, you know, like defense against this team because they're not going to be able to pass.
Right.
They've got Samaje Perine. He's kind of getting old. He's a good backup. He had 52 or 55 attempts on 246 yards and one touchdown. But he did better in the passing game with 27 receptions for 169 yards and a touchdown. He was the clear backup to Mixon last year, but they got this new guy, Chris Evans, who could potentially put Samaje Perine back down to three. Right now, Samaje is number two, but this Chris Evans guy is supposedly looking good and could factor into a lot of these passing down plays.
Dude, he played last year and looked good. Like, there, I think there's a chance that he's the second back in Cincinnati. I've drafted him in a few best balls. I like Captain America.
Yeah, he was a 2020 sixth rounder. He actually got involved a little bit, 17 attempts for 77 yards, 15 receptions for 151 yards, and two touchdowns. So they did utilize him a little bit last year. And honestly, he's younger, so he's probably going to emerge as the number two as the season goes along.
I think so, too.
I don't think there's really any fantasy relevance unless you're in like a 14-team league. But what were you going to say?
It's true. I mean, there's like Joe Mixon is not a three-down back. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He does like he like late last year he started giving up like as they started to pass heavy, like he wasn't in the backfield as much because they were passing and he's not a good pass blocker. So
yeah,
the hope is that Mixon is on the field more on third downs this year so he can get some more of that passing work because he's good. He's a good catcher. He's a good receiver.
Yeah, yeah, 314 yards. And they've also got Travion Williams. He got a little bit involved, 15 attempts for 51 yards, one reception for 4 yards. Nothing to write home about there.
Nope.
But I think Chris Evans is going to emerge as the number two as the year goes on.
I agree.
Like I said, P. Ryan's what? He's got to be 30?
He's older, yeah.
He's getting up there.
Yeah. Before we move on, do you want Mixon or Dalvin Cook?
Mixon.
Do you want Mixon or Najee? And we already did that. Do you want Mixon or Javonte Williams?
Mixon.
Okay. You're a big Mixon guy this year, huh?
I think I'm liking him.
All right. All right, so let's talk about the best wide receiver room in football then.
Yeah. Last year, almost Joe Burrow almost had three 1,000-yard receivers. I don't know if that's... Has that ever been done?
Yeah, it has.
It has?
Yeah.
So you had Jamar Chase with 1,455 yards. You had T. Higgins with 1,091. You had Tyler Boyd with 828. And like I think we said this earlier in one of the podcasts where I think Joe Burrow towards the end of the year just kind of felt bad for Tyler Boyd. So he just kind of started targeting him.
Yeah.
And he was just, Tyler Boyd got a lot of those, a lot of his yardage in the latter half of the season. But let's look at Jamar Chase. He had 24% of the target share last year, 81 receptions, 13 touchdowns, an 18-yard average. I'm just to pause for a second and a moment of silence for that.
Yeah, no shit, right? Remember that stat I came up with when I was doing mine where he had 40 targets more than 20 yards downfield and 8 of those targets were touchdowns.
Right.
Yeah.
He also averaged 11.5 yards per target, the second highest in the NFL last year. Also 8.1 yards after the catch for the fourth highest. Now, like I said, Jamar Chase, he had 24% of the target share. In a close second, T. Higgins had 23% of the target share.
Yup.
74 receptions, 6 touchdowns, a 14.7 yard average. Like, yep. That's crazy for two guys. He had a procedure in the offseason to get his torn labrum fixed. He's still not practicing, but he still should be that clear number two in this offense. Although he has yet to deliver a top 20 wide receiver fantasy year.
Right. Well, sure. But like in points per game, he's a lot better. He's just had, you know, he's missed a few games each year.
Yeah. And let's look at Tyler Boyd. Before Jamar Chase came to the Bengals, Tyler Boyd had 22% of the target share from 2018 to 2020.
Wow.
Last year, with the emergence of Jamar Chase and T. Higgins being really well, he only had 16% of the target share.
Oof.
67 receptions, 5 touchdowns. Still, a 12.4 average is really good. He's definitely a really good slot receiver, and that's what this team needs, especially with Chase and Higgins playing on the outside.
Yeah.
So this wide receiver corp is one of the best, I think, that's going to be this year. I think probably top three.
Ryan, I think you're pick 9 in our home league. So it all comes to you. Jamar Chase is on the board, and so is Devontae Adams. Who are you taking?
Damn it. I would probably take that dice roll and go Devontae Adams.
Okay. I know you're stupid high on Chase in Dynasty because, you know, you've got some hopes and dreams on him.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's interesting to me to hear you say Adams over Chase this year in redraft. Would you do Chase or Justin Jefferson?
Probably Chase.
Okay.
If Jamar, I don't think Jamar Chase is going to get 13 touchdowns again. I'd be honestly surprised. He could get 10, but I don't think he's going to get 13 again. I think Devontae's got a chance to get almost 20. We'll see.
Okay. T. Higgins, I see a wide receiver 12 on 4 for 4. Would you want T. Higgins or Mike Evans?
Ooh. I mean, Mike Evans is probably going to get around the same numbers, so, but I would go T. Higgins.
T. Higgins or A.J. Brown?
Definitely T. Higgins. A.J. Brown's going to have a down year.
T. Higgins or Debo?
Definitely Debo.
Okay, cool. All right, and then...
Outside of that, they've got a bunch of scrubs. Mike Thomas, Kwame Lassiter, Stanley Morgan, Trent Taylor, Puka Williams. So if any of these three guys gets hurt, we'll see who emerges.
I have one question for you. Jarvis Landry or Tyler Boyd?
Damn it. You know I love Jarvis Landry.
I know. They're right next to each other on 4 for 4, 42 and 43.
Honestly, I'd probably go Jarvis.
Okay.
So they lost Uzama this year, so they picked up Hayden Hurst. I don't see really how that is improvement, but they did it. So
right.
Last year he only had 20. He played, yeah, the last two seasons he was with the Ravens and Atlanta. Last year he only had 26 receptions for 221 yards and 3 touchdowns. He still, because of Joe Burrow's appendectomy, still hasn't had any time to develop any chemistry outside of, you know, talking to each other or anything like that. But on field chemistry, he hasn't had any time to develop a rapport. One of the guys who I'm very sad and I thought would could potentially be tight end number one for Cincinnati this year is Drew Sample.
Okay.
I really like him. Even though he didn't do a lot last year, he still could. He's way younger than Hurst. He's more athletic. But on Thursday, he was carted off the field with a knee injury.
Oh, no.
They're not saying anything crazy serious, but he was at Friday's practice, with crutches and a boot. So I don't know. It said it was a knee thing. It was interesting that he was in a boot. I don't know what that means, but.
Just remember, over the last 2 years, the three teams that throw to the tight end the least are the Rams, the Jets, and the Bengals.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, I remember when everyone was all over, like, Tyler Eifert.
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, yeah. I do remember that. I got burned by Tyler Eifert for sure.
Oh, I'm sure. And then we've also got Mitchell Wilcox and Thaddeus Moss. They're going to be their blocking guys.
Thaddeus Moss sucks and probably won't be on the team next year. That's Randy Moss's kid. You know that, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, he played. He was on that. He was the tight end on that Burrow, Chase, Jefferson, LSU offense with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Really?
Yeah. But he's bad. He sucks.
Well, yeah, to recap, the Bengals are going to be, they're going to win the AFC North this year. If they all stay healthy, it's going to be another great year.
Even if they don't, they're going to win the AFC North.
Right. I think maybe Joe Burrow last year coming off that ACL started the year playing a little timid. And maybe that's why towards the end of the year, his production ramped up. So if he can like kind of space that out more now that he's confident, he's not really working on any lingering injuries or anything, and just get more involved, like he could potentially throw for 5,000 yards this year. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Chase could even catch for more than 1,500 yards. I don't think he's going to get as many touchdowns, but I think he's going to get more yards. But who knows? Jamar Chase could become the next Calvin Johnson and just be like the best wide receiver we've ever seen play football.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that's his rookie year, like, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Set some records.
Sure. Just like he did last year, the rookie receiving record.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm high on the Bengals. I want a lot of parts of their offense, whether it's Joe Mixon, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. A numerous amount of these guys are going to be in some way or another in some of my fantasy lineups, even Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
So I really like Cincinnati this year. I know a lot of other people do. They're a fun team to watch. Go Bengals.
All right. Who they? You know, when cops like retire, they do their dramatic, like end of watch shit. You know what I mean? This is your end of watch moment, dude. You're signing off for the off season.
Yep.
We did it. After I'm done with this Bears report, we made it through an off season.
I know, that's crazy. And somehow we came up with a crazy amount of content to talk about.
Yeah.
Like I never thought, like when we first started this, we were doing like half an hour episodes. I never thought like during NFL off season we'd come up with hour and a half episodes.
Right, right. And I'm sure it'll be good for other people to listen to us in only like a half hour at a time format. but, you know, we'll get done what we need to get done. So let's wrap this shit up. Let's do the Chicago Bears.
Nice.
All right, Ryan, quick. Who was the last Bears quarterback with a top 12 finish in fantasy?
Jay Cutler?
Eric Kramer, 1995.
Oh, my God.
All right. As us Bears fans know, Justin Fields had a weird and wild rookie season with a lot of lows and a few moments that made us all scream, this is the fucking guy. Like, this is the dude. But let's be real. Like, if you take a look back at last year, this team was dead from the beginning. Like, Matt Nagy's insistence that they run the Andy Dalton offense was a nightmare because it didn't play to Fields' strengths as a quarterback.
Right, yeah.
There's a ton of evidence in college and in the early games that Fields played that like he shows what he does well, but Nagy's game plan did not focus on any of it. All right. So listen to this. So I'm looking at Warren Sharp's player profile thing. Cause anytime I buy a thing that does reports, I look at the Bears and I want to see what they have to say. When the Bears passed on first down last year, Justin Fields averaged 8.7 yards per attempt, fifth in the NFL.
Really?
On first downs, when Justin Fields ended up scrambling, he averaged 6.1 yards per carry.
Wow.
The Bears passed the second fewest times in the league on first down. Like, last year, Fields averaged almost 2 more yards per attempt on play action.
Okay.
The Bears were below league average in play action attempt. On third down, NFL teams averaged 7.4 yards to go for a first down. The Bears averaged 8.7.
Okay.
I'm betting on Fields this year in fantasy for two reasons. Well, three reasons. One, because I love the fucking Bears. Two, he's demonstrated his ceiling as a runner. And three, I believe that anyone, except Matt Nagy, can build a game plan that plays to Fields' talents. All right? In his first four starts, he averaged 3.75 rushes a game. In his last five, he averaged 8.4 rushes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Remember those stats that I tried to sell you on with Trey Lance? Fantasy quarterbacks that run over eight times a game are almost a lock for a top 10 quarterback season. The Bears wide receiver room is terrible. There's no arguing that. So when Fields gets pressured and nobody's open, his scramble numbers are going to go up, and that's fantasy gold. I wrote this, Ryan, I wrote this a week ago, and in the last couple days, there was a report from The Atlantic that said that Darnell Mooney and Justin Fields are running scramble drills for the first time since Fields, since Fields came to the Bears. Because scramble drills are so important. Like, how are you going to know when a play breaks? Where is he looking? Where are his tendencies?
Yeah.
So I'm talking about how scramble situations are going to be net positives for the Bears. And then Darnell Mooney comes out and says, we're practicing those situations. That says to me that I'm looking in the right direction and that they saw what Fields can do and are trying to build around it.
Yeah.
Did you know that Fields was a quarterback one in four of his final five games? And the only exception was the game that he left, the Baltimore game, when he left at halftime with a rib injury.
Wow.
PFF has the Bears receiver room ranked as the worst wide receiver room in football. And I get it. So yeah. I think Fields ends up running more often than most quarterbacks. And as you know, he looks really fucking good running.
Yeah. He's still young. He can still do a lot of stuff. Yeah.
He's got, like, him and Mooney are, all right, whatever. I'll get there. Justin Fields, quarterback 18 on 4-for-4, quarterback 14 on PFF, dynasty quarterback 13 on keep trade cut. In redraft, Ryan, Justin Fields or Jameis Winston?
I'm going to have to go Jameis.
Justin Fields or Matt Ryan?
Definitely Fields.
Okay. David Montgomery is, this kills me to say, David Montgomery is a good running back, not a great one. Depending on how you think the Bears divvy up their backfield touches, Monty could be in for a strong campaign.
I think Bears, so.
Bears backs averaged more than a yard per carry more once Fields took over.
Really?
Yeah. They're running that wide zone offense, which is really running back friendly. And I'm hoping that, like, some of the, like, you know, if Luke Getsy's calling offenses the way that he was doing in Green Bay, the running backs will get the bulk of this offense.
Okay.
It should be a high rush volume play action attack. And if Monty ends up getting 75% of the work, then he's going to smash his ADP, right?
Yeah.
He had 74% snap share last year and 81% of the touches when he was healthy. So if the coaching staff is like, yeah, let's do it with this dude, he could be in for a big year and maybe get a second contract in Chicago. He had 51 targets last year. I'm hoping he can get about that as well this year. I'm not sure. It's a new system, so who knows? But he had 8 red zone targets, which is real nice. For a running back, like, hell yeah.
So you want Montgomery or Aaron Jones?
Shut up. Get the fuck out of here. Montgomery is running back 16 on 4-for-4. He's running back 20 on PFF. Dynasty running back 20 on keep trade cut. Ryan, David Montgomery, or Josh Jacobs?
Ooh. I'll go Montgomery.
David Montgomery or Cordarrelle Patterson?
Definitely Montgomery.
David Montgomery or Antonio Gibson?
Ooh. No, I'll go Montgomery again.
Okay, so you are high on Montgomery.
Yeah, I do. I mean, all the Bears are going to do is run this year. It's either going to be Fields or him.
Well, I also kind of believe that Khalil Herbert cuts into his carries this year. Last season when Monty was hurt, he got the Alexander Mattison, right? Yeah.
That is true. I mean, Khalil Herbert did look pretty good.
And Getsy comes from the Matt LaFleur Packers, so I think we see more Herbert this year. I think he gets kind of like an A.J. Dillon role, where he gets touches every week.
Sure.
Herbert performed better using PFF metrics than Montgomery in almost every statistical way as a runner, so it's just something to think about. At his price, I wouldn't mind if I needed a bench running back, but, like, dude, I don't want more than one Bears player on any of my fantasy teams. Like,
yeah,
there's some pieces that I'm interested in, but I'm interested in them in the same way that I am Detroit players. Like, I only need one. Like, yeah. I don't have high hopes that a guy on a bad offense is going to be a top five player.
Okay, so redraft, are you potentially thinking about, like, having Justin Fields as your starting quarterback or only in, like, super flex?
I'm of two minds. Like, I could do either. I could see myself totally punting on quarterback and getting Fields.
Yeah. Like, the only way you would do it is if, like, you did, like, you just waited until, like, a really long time to get a quarterback and you were able to come out of that with, like, two top five wide receivers, maybe two top 10 running backs. Like, you'd need to have a lot more.
I mean, I think that if people draft Justin Fields as their quarterback two, he's going to end up being their quarterback one.
Interesting.
Like, last year, someone in our league drafted Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts. And after a while, she was like, why am I not starting Jalen Hurts? He's been putting up more points than Kyler Murray every week.
He was, huh?
Yeah. So Abby was like trying to get rid of him. And I was like, yeah, I should have traded for Jalen Hurts, but that's a story for another day. All right. Darnell Mooney is the fucking man, Ryan. He's the fucking man. Read a great article in The Atlantic about Darnell Mooney. It was like a profile. Dude, do you know that when he, first off, he still drives the same car he did when he was in high school.
What?
Yeah. When he bought his house, the first thing he did with his signing bonus, well, he bought a house, but then he also bought the jugs machines, the ball throwing machines.
Oh, really?
And he puts them on one side of his house and then he stands in the yard on the other side and has like coach like launch them. And when it's too cold out and he has to do it in the winter, he brings the jugs machine inside his house.
That's awesome.
And they're like, are you sure about this? He's like, yeah, I better not drop anything.
Yeah.
Like, he works till midnight watching film. Like, he is that guy. All right?
Hell yeah.
So PFF does this thing where they compare wide receivers in year two, looking at routes run, average depth of target, top 24 finishes, and per game PPR. So you know the year that most closely related to Darnell Mooney's year last year? Tyreek Hill's second year.
Interesting.
Darnell Mooney ran the second most routes per game of all 2020 rookies last season with above average efficiency. The only wide receiver from the 2020 class that ran more routes last year than Darnell Mooney was Justin Jefferson.
Really?
Yeah. So I worry about the offense as a whole, and that's why I'm worried about Mooney. Not because I think he's not fucking awesome, but because the offense hasn't shown me that they're going to be good enough to move the ball consistently. According to PFF, the top scoring wide receiver on a bottom 10 scoring offense has an average finish of wide receiver 32 over the past 5 years.
Okay.
So, like, if your team's limited, you're limited, you know?
True.
Let's see. Mooney's usage is completely elite, though. He's Fields' best friend and training partner. Field gave him, and the offense gave him 140 targets last year.
Wow.
He has 25% target share when Fields is.
25?
Yes.
That's more than Jamar Chase. Chase was 24.
Right. So do I think Mooney is a wide receiver one? No. Not like in fantasy, but I think his usage and deep ball ability tell me that he's going to outplay his ADP and he'll end up in the mid wide receiver teens by the end of the season.
Okay.
Darnell Mooney's wide receiver 25 on 4-for-4, wide receiver 28 on PFF, dynasty wide receiver 32 on keep trade cut. Ryan, Darnell Mooney or Jerry Jeudy?
Ooh. I like Jeudy with Russell.
Darnell Mooney or Adam Thielen?
I'll go Mooney.
Okay. But do you see what I did there? I gave you the Bears unquestioned number one wide receiver against two wide receiver twos on a better offense.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. Byron Pringle has either scored a touchdown or gone for more than 50 yards every time he's gotten more than six targets a game, which is awesome. But, like, he only had five of those games, and he played with Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. Like,
is he all right now? Didn't he get in, like, a car accident or something?
No, he got arrested for doing donuts. He did get hurt, though.
Oh.
He's hurt right now, and so is N'Keal Harry, so we'll see what happens. He should have had a ton of one-on-one coverage in that Chiefs offense to get more than six targets a game, but he never made that leap. I don't think his odds for fantasy relevance get any better in Chicago, but he'll see a ton of snaps. Byron Pringle's wide receiver 82, whatever. Velus Jones, yeah. Wide receiver 101. Equanimeous St. Brown is the only player in the NFL with the word anime in his name. That's it. Velus Jones is a 25-year-old rookie that actually projects to be a starting slot wide receiver for the Bears this year. He's a burner. He's a yards after catch specialist that can go deep. He ran a 4.3140.
Wow.
And, like, he's not elite. He's not an elite prospect, but it's clear that the wide receivers, like, they're not going to draft a wide receiver in the third round and not use him. You know?
Yeah.
Fields, like, okay, so he projects as a slot and a gadget guy. And the one thing I like about Velus is Fields was asked by the management, what wide receivers do you want to work with before the draft? Like, which guys should we start looking at drafting? And Velus was one of the ones that Fields picked.
Okay.
So I hope.
Yeah, I think I remember you saying that earlier. Yeah.
I hope. I don't have high hopes, but, like, if you're a Bears fan, you're trying to find the smallest things to make it look good.
Right.
All right. So last but not least, something funny I noticed. I see so many people are saying the Bears are this bad offense. There's no fantasy production to be here. And then I also see Cole Kmet listed as, like, a breakout tight end.
Right.
Like, one thing has to be true.
Right. And
I think Cole Kmet returns on value this year. Like, he had 89 targets last year. That's great
news. Yeah.
He had 60 catches, 612 yards, zero touchdowns.
Goddamn Jesper Horsted.
Dude, like, Kyle Pitts, you have to expect significant positive TV improvements after last year. I expect Griffin and O'Shaughnessy to replace a little bit of Jesse James and Graham and Jesper Horsted. But the Bears have 24 vacated red zone targets this year.
Okay.
So you got to think the Bears have this tight end that's 6'6", and Fields has been working, like throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
You got to hope that, like, he's going to get some red zone looks this year.
I would sure hope so.
Okay. So PFF has him listed as a potential tight end breakout. And I was reading an article by a guy named Kambui Bomani. He had a 94.8 receiving grade on passes that were 10 to 19 yards downfield, which is also Fields' strongest zone in the field, like the when you break it down.
Yeah.
So it looks good for a breakout if they can both connect in a spot where they seem to thrive. Last year, he averaged 3.5 catches for about 36 yards per game and 0.0 touchdowns. So how much better is he this year? Does he average 5 catches, 50 yards? Does he get 4 to 6 touchdowns? I think the way this offense is rumored to look, and with all the garbage options the Bears have at wide receiver, couldn't you say Kmet could go for 70, 700 yards, 5 touchdowns?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So I kind of looked at it and I'm like, look, if he averaged 36 yards per game last year, I think he could make it to 40 yards per game this year. I think he could go from 3.5 catches to 4 catches this year. And if he averaged 40 yards per game, 4 catches, and 5 touchdowns, that would put him at tight end 8 last year in full PPR.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So Right now, Cole Kmet is tight end 9 on 4-for-4. He's tight end 17 on PFF. He's dynasty tight end 10 on keep trade cut. Remember, I just projected him 5 more touchdowns than he got last year. Don't go crazy. But
right.
Cole Kmet or Albert O?
Ooh. I think I'll go Kmet on this one.
Cole Kmet or Irv Smith?
You know I like Irv Smith. I'm going Irv Smith.
Okay. So.
Here, interesting prop, really quick. James okay. O'Shaughnessy. Over or under 2.5 touchdowns?
Under.
Wow. I was going to go over. I'm thinking he's going to get like 3 or 4.
I don't know how often the Bears get into the red zone this year, you know? Like, I don't want to bet on consistent offensive success to the point where I'm taking overs. Like, I expect them to be successful. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think I want to bet any Bears overs, just as a general rule.
Oh, the Bears are getting to the red zone.
We'll see, man. I hope you're right. So that's 32 teams twice. We did 32 teams twice.
That's 64 teams.
The NFL has 64 teams if you copy every team and then do it again. yeah, this was fun. I feel like I said, I feel prepared. I feel like we have opinions, you know, like we both do snake drafts. And one of the things that I've been drafting with a lot this year is, hey, you know what? I'm not worried if Sleeper or ESPN says that I'm reaching on a guy. Like, I'm getting my fucking guy.
Right.
And I feel like now I've researched enough to be like, I feel like when I'm looking at a board of dudes left available, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I clearly just want this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, someone at work the other day. So I set up the work league, and now we have 12 people in the league.
Nice.
And someone at work was like, oh man, that's going to be crazy during the draft. Like, I don't know who like a lot of these players in this deep player pool are. I'm like, I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't have a problem.
It's been a fun project. So
yeah.
We'll come up with some fun stuff for you next week, and I'm sure we'll have some NFL news to actually talk about and react on. And
there should be plenty. We got to figure that out. Well, I think most of the games are on Saturday, right? So we should have plenty of stuff to talk about on Sunday.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that's it. So we finished our mega long episode. So summer's over, season's here, football's back, and that's about it.
Football is back, baby.
I know, I'm so excited.
After that exciting Jaguars game.
Oh, man, that was definitely football. Football's definitely back. It felt like a prime Thursday night game.
Right.
All right, well, for Ryan, I'm Tony, and Craig, you're gone too.
Tony, I'm Ryan.
Happy end of the off season.
Hell yeah. Here's to a new year.
Have a
good night, everyone.
Good night. Okay, cool. Hell yeah.